Hello.
Luke Kidgel from International Podcasts. We're leaving it in. What a shit start. Some people wouldn't have even got that reference.
No, probably not.
Because international people wouldn't know who Frank Walker is.
No.
Hang on, we'll talk about this in the episode. Yeah. All right. Welcome back to the Luke Kidgel Hour, ladies and gentlemen. I really hit the T today. No gentlemen today. Gentlemen and ladies, how are we? And everything in between, goddammit. Hope you're well. Hope you're living the life. And let's start it. Let's do the buzzer. And then we're going to delve into who doesn't and who does know who Frank Walker is. Where we go? Okay. This is our first international buzzer sound to start the podcast that we have. It's from the UK, so it's been sent across the globe on the interwebs. Let's hope it wasn't a waste of bandwidth. All right, let's hope this doesn't make the internet a poo-poo invention. Where is it?
Bank 2.
Which one?
Buzzer sound.
Oh, yeah, the one labelled buzzer sound. Great. Reese is great at his job. I suck at reading. Okay, here we go. Who's it sent in by?
Rue.
That's half a name, isn't it? That Ruth is a name. Ruby, also a name. Rue. Well, who are you? A character from the Hunger Games? All right, let's go.
The Luke Kidgel Hour begins now.
Did he say hour?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did, yeah.
he really stumbled over the word hour there. Let's play that again, Rue.
The Luke Kidgel Hour.
Hour, yeah, right.
Begins now.
It's like this. He recorded it like he was going to put an echo on it afterwards, but he just was like, oh, fuck it, I'll just send it in. I liked it how he really nailed the Luke Kidgel. He's like, the Luke Kidgel. And then he was out of breath by the end of Kidgel. He's like, the Luke Kidgel. He like breathed in as he said, now he's like, man, great stuff, Rue. Keep him coming in. Have you started the clock? Oh, God damn it, Reese. All right, I'm flipping the hourglass. It's the 75-minute glass. This glass does not go for an hour. It's bullshit. All right, the time is going. Let's get to the bottom of what really matters. Let's do a survey during the week. Who does or doesn't know who Frank Walker is from National Tiles? Because I was about... It's a only Victorian... No, it's a National Tiles. I was about to say Frank only Walker, Victorian National people would know who Frank Walker is, but Frank Walker is an Australian icon.
Yes.
I would love to know, no Australians spoil it in the comments, okay? I want international people in the comments of today's episode to guess what Frank Walker does. Mm. Although I've kind of said that he runs a national tower. It's just so weird. Do other countries have celebrities that aren't really celebrities? Like they're household names. Like if you go to anyone in Australia... Frank Walker, they will go, hello, Frank Walker of National Tiles. And it's crazy. Like he gets interviewed on like our morning shows and stuff. It's a guy who just runs a tile business. That's the most strange shit of all time. Just like, oh, this guy made a pretty good ad. You know, there's like ads in Australia that people don't even buy the products. Everyone just goes, oh yeah, great ad. You know, like there's the Blind Factory. Fucking annoying ad, that one. The Blind Factory. And that just, it's been playing on radio for years. Like when, as a kid, I used to hear that shit. Yeah. And there's Clive Peters, E-E-Easy. I don't even know what the fuck Clive Peters sells. Is it bedding or homewares or technology? I couldn't tell you. I know it's something that like to do with like, I think it's like technology, like Dick Smith.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, who cares? But it's like, it's easy. Whatever they sell, I bet it's not a hard thing when you go in there because it's easy. Man, we need a good slogan for this podcast.
We do.
Maybe we need to make an ad.
Yeah.
Hello. Luke Kidgel from, I already did that at the start. We just used the original audio. Yeah, maybe we need to start paying for like 3AW AM radio airtime. That would be great. My dad would know about my podcast, yeah. Finally. If it got played in, like, you know, in between Grubby and DD or something, yeah, like that. I don't know if they're still on. But, yeah, all of a sudden, we get a new demo tuning in. Hope you guys are well. Hope you've had a good week. The tour has started, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm very excited about it. We went to Warrnambool on the weekend for the first show. Jeez, it's a long way down the freeway. A lot of road. People are like, how was Warrnambool? I'm like, roadie on the way there. Once you get there, sure, fine. Lovely beach town. Rip a place to go die. That's what Warrnambool is. Oh, man, if you are 80 and the heart's slowing down, just drive up the freeway and you'll have a great time dying there. It's one of those places. Like, young people, it's not a great place to live, yeah, but it is a great place to die. And that's the Warrnambool guarantee. That's a great slogan for Warrnambool. Yeah. Great place to, no, shit place to live, great place to die. Come on down and we'll bury you. That's good. Man, the grave, the whoever's running the grave there must be making fucking coin. That's for sure. Dude, I was doing my show at a bowls club and there was so much confusion because Warrnambool's such a tiny place, but there's like four bowls clubs because it's a great place to go die. And everyone was like, which bowls club are you doing? Hey, read the ticket. But also, fair enough. A place shouldn't have that many bowls clubs. It was awesome. So yeah, the show was sick. Man, it was loose. Literally right from the start, before I got onto the stage, man, I was just on. But accidentally. So Ruben's opening for me. You know, I'll be honest, I was a little nervous. Haven't done a show in 2 years by myself, pretty much, since mid-2019. So just under 2 years. And I was nervous, you know? Like, I don't really get nervous before shows anymore. People always ask me that. They're like, do you get nervous? I'm like, nah, it's just, I'm pretty confident, you know? But for some reason, I was just nervous again because I was like, it was a thing I hadn't done in a while, hadn't done an hour. We did a trial show on Thursday, Patreon only, which is the shit you only get if you're Patreon, man. We did a Patreon only trial show, Lewis Spears and I. And we both ran our new hour. And man, here's the thing. My hour was like sporadic and I didn't know half of it. And there was no bits that really bombed. Lewis knew all his shit. Like, it was definitely more polished than mine, but there was some bits that he had that just fucking bombs. He did this bit about drowning his cat and everyone was just staring at him like, hey man, is this a joke? Sounds like you want to kill your cat. Even afterwards, I was like, maybe get rid of the cat bit, man. I'm like, but the seagull bit was great. Keep the seagull bit, dude. Not the cat bit. My one was kind of like, it was good. There were some bits that just did not work. But some bits I discovered just were way funnier than I thought it was. I discovered while I was doing the bit. I think that's what I'm loving about this new show so far. I've only done it like twice at the trial show in Warrnambool. Warrnambool was probably the most fun I've ever had on stage. It was like Canberra show in 2019 that fucking ripped. But man, I was just loving it. You know, I watched it back and, you know, it was great. But like in the moment, I was just like, dude, this is just so much fun. There was a VCAL kid in the front row of my show on the weekend that had to Google what fog was. You can't write that. Like, everyone's like, do the fog bit right at the start. So this dude has 50 minutes to figure out what fog is, right? I do it at the end of the show, the fog bit, right? I'm not doing it early, you know? And then, and by the way, it's not a guarantee. I'm only doing it on request. It's part of the fog bit rules, you know. I only do it if it's loudly chanted. It's just the way it is. So, but if, you know, people were chanting it, there was a lot of fog enthusiasts in. I'm not surprised. It's the greatest bit of stand-up comedy of all time. You know what my favorite part about the fog bit is? I tell people it's the greatest bit of stand-up comedy of all time. And not only does it live up to their expectations every goddamn time, it exceeds it. People come off stage and go, you said it was the best bit of all time. You know, there's Jim Jefferies' gun bit. There's Michael McIntyre has some ripping bits. So does Seinfeld. Bill Burr has some great bits. Well, Come on, lads, step it up. It ain't no fogging, that's for sure. And people come off stage and still go, Luke, you've done it. It is the greatest bit of all time. You wrote such a funny bit of comedy about Mist. It's just, it's wild. Anyway, geez, I've now really talked to people are like, really, Luke? Better than Bill Burr, a guy that's been doing it for 30 years. Yep. It's the Luke Kidgel guarantee. It's the fog guarantee. But it's only done upon request. Anyway, so this guy has 50 minutes to figure out what fog does. He spends a lot of the show, you know, at the bar, just, you know, chilling. There was one point in the show with the same guy. By the way, ripper bloke. Don't want to shit on the guy. These three guys were fucking sick in the front row. Two of them were builders. One of them was a car salesman. Dude, they were talking throughout Ruben's set, and Ruben got so angry at him. Ruben was like, shut the fuck up. And I was like, oh my God. When the opener tells you to shut the fuck up, man, you probably need to pipe down a bit. But, yeah, I was. It was funny because the same guy before the show. This is how relaxed regional shows are, and it's why I love doing like shitty bowls clubs and pubs and stuff. Because A, there's no other venues in Warrnambool. It's either you do a pub or a bowls club, right? Any place that has a function room, I'll do. I'll stand there and tell my jokes in, right? But we're backstage, by the way, which is the toilet. But it's a bowls club toilet, so it's more of like a change room slash meeting room.
Yeah,
it was really odd. There was like a table in there. Like, you ate your dinner in there.
I think I finished my dinner in there because the door's open.
Yeah. It sounds gross. Like, it's like, really, Reese, you ate your dinner in a toilet? It had a toilet in there, but it was more than that. It was those lockers. There was a table. Yeah. There was like meeting room chairs. Yeah. Very strange. The women's bathroom, which we used last year on our Warrnambool show, had couches in the toilet. It was beautiful. Mm. Oh, man. The chicks get it. The guy was still kind of dirty. But this is how relaxed regional shows are. This guy who's coming to see me in the show, he's the guy in the front row who's mates with the vehicle kid. You know, he's there to see me. Like, he must know who I am, surely.
Yeah.
He must have at least done it. Like, even if his mates dragged him along, he got a photo with me afterwards. He's definitely a fan, right?
Yeah.
This is how little people give a fuck about comedians. He walks in, doesn't even go, oh, hey, Luke. Like, oh, I've walked in a room and the guy who's performing's here. Not even like, he wasn't even, didn't even do eyebrows. His eyebrows did not even raise slightly. He just walks in and goes, is this where the toilet is? And me and Ruben are standing there like rehearsing our jokes. This is the first show of the tour. We're like, what the fuck are we going to say? And then we're like, no, the toilet's like down there. I mean, there was a toilet there, but I was like, fuck off, you know? And then I was like, nah, man, it's out the corridor. He's like, all right, boys, thanks. He's like, good luck. And I was like, okay, cool. And then the guy afterwards was like, mate, big fan. I was like, you literally an hour ago couldn't give a shit about me and then talk through my whole opener set. Very regional vibes. So, yeah. And then I was doing this bit about driving, people who drive manuals, right? You know, just trashing dudes who fucking drive manuals. And I got like 2 minutes into this bit. It's pretty obvious at this point my stance on the issue. I'm very anti-manual, pro-auto is the joke, right? This VCAL kid, same guy who had to Google what fog was. He stops me mid-sentence and goes, wait. Which is already like, it's people, I think, forget sometimes, like, it's a one-way thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I talk, that's why I've got the microphone. I talk and it's amplified through the speakers and your job is to be like, ha, yes. And then, you know, I don't mind the odd occasional, you know, back and forth with the crowd. But he just goes, wait. And I'm just like, I stop my joke and I go, what? And he goes, he wasn't joking.
Yeah.
He goes, so you drive auto, right? You don't drive a manual. And I go, yeah, that's the premise of the last 2 minutes. Keep up, right? This dude's still like, I'm on stage, man. But I've been on stage for half an hour. This dude just randomly laughs out loud. I'm like, I bet he was just laughing at the joke Ruben said like half an hour ago. This guy's just like, if Internet Explorer was a human being, the guy was just on dial-up. I could see his face buffering throughout the show. It was crazy. But yeah, anyway, man, thanks for coming out. I don't think he's going to come back. I mean, but also, not my fault, you know? At not one point was I like, oh man, you should talk. You know, he was doing that. There was this one guy in the crowd that was like just weirdly compulsively lying. Like at the start, he was like, ah, I work for KFC. Remember I told you that last year? And I go, no. Like, people, it's so funny. They go, do you remember me from last year? And I'm like, you mean the guy who was also a dark shadow in the room a year ago? No, I'm sorry, but I just didn't remember that interaction. Have a lot of dumb interactions with people. It's kind of my job. And then it turns out halfway through the show, this guy doesn't work at KFC. What a weird thing to lie about. Some people are so weird.
Yeah.
They're like, I work at KFC. And I'm like, was that even, it's not a funny thing to lie about either. Mm. Like maybe you could be like, you know, what's a funny job? There aren't really many funny jobs. No. You know, I don't really know like if there's a job that's particularly funny to lie about doing. But anyway, guys, it was a great show. Oh, and then this is the first story I was supposed to tell. On the way to the stage, there was like, Ruben's like, all right, welcome stage, Luke Kidgel, and everyone's clapping. And then I'm like kind of walking to the stage, and then I spot this cockroach on the ground just scurrying across, and I freak out. I'm like, ah! And then everyone in the whole crowd just sees me go, ah! And like, I kind of flamboyantly like fling myself over this cockroach to avoid stepping on it, and then spend the first 3 minutes of the show. Like, my brother's come on tour with us on the weekend. My brother and Simo, his mate, were there, and I spent the first 3 minutes of, 3 minutes of the show going, kill it, Jack, get rid of it, fuck it off. And that's why, you know, travel with the crew. I'm a diva, you know. I don't want to kill any cockroaches. It's my show, god damn it. I bring in the people, you kill the cockroaches. That's the arrangement. So, yeah, it was such a fun show. Please, I didn't have to say please. I'm actually selling so fucking good this year. I'm not going to lie, guys. This is my year. I was listening to that all-time low song, Weightless, on the way home from Warrnambool. And I was like, maybe it's not my weekend. But it also was my weekend. And then it's like, but it's going to be my year. And I was like, oh my God, this is the year that Alex from All Time Low was referring to. Hell yeah. 15-year-old Luke was very satisfied at that moment. If COVID fucks off, I'm still, you know, there's still like a 15% chance that everything goes wrong, depending on how, if this virus stays at bay in this country. But yeah, man, get your tickets and come early to the festival for that reason. You know, Perth Fringe got shut down for 5 days during the third week of it. It was all going ahead at the start, you know. So book tickets for the first week. Opening night's almost sold out, lukekidgel.com. And book tickets for the second night as well. And then I pretty much will sell out the first whole week of shows, I reckon. So that's very cool. Thank you very much for booking tickets. It's going to be a fun time, and the show is honestly by far the best show I've ever done. It's very funny, isn't
it? Yeah, it's
great. I was shocked. I know that sounds dumb, like that I was like, oh, I can't believe a comedian is funny, but I was kind of on stage and I was like, fuck, this, I'm funny, like this fucking rips. Like, you know, there was a part of me, this is how arrogant I am, like I was like, there was one bit on stage where I was like, man, I'd love to be in the audience of this show. Because it's like exactly what I find funny, obviously, because I'm the one saying it. But I have this one bit where I do a funny voice, and it's the favorite part of every night. And you can tell. You'll know the bit. When I start doing it, you'll be like, this is the bit he likes doing. Anyway, it's so much fun. I think that's what this year is just all about for me, is like I didn't really set out to write a show that's going to change the world. You know what I mean? I kind of set out to write a show that makes you forget about your shit for an hour. And I feel like it did that just fine on the weekend. Like, I'm not the type of comedian where I'm going out there to like change your mind or prove a point or even be topical. I just wrote a show this year kind of accidentally that was just like fucking stupid and so silly. And it's like edgy at parts, but then it gets insanely silly about a minute later. It's kind of confusing. You're like, what's this guy's vibe? Like, my vibe is so erratic. It's literally just like my personality. My show is also laid out like an Eldie. And people got so angry at me on TikTok because I said Eldie, because I say things wrong, because I can't speak despite it being my job. Whatever. All right. I know accountants who suck at maths. So fuck you. All right. Not everyone's good at their job. You know, Reese, yeah, you're pretty good at your job. Yeah. All right, I was about to criticize
can't
you.
Can't use a tripod though.
Yeah, true. On the weekend, that's true. Like, literally 10 minutes before the show, he's there. What's your job on tour?
Film.
To film the shows. 10 minutes before, like, doors open, Reese is like, how the fuck do I use this tripod? And I was like, yeah, that's good. Get the ducks of V-cals. Like, I'm gonna show you. God damn. And then Ruben, who's opening, is like, yeah, here's how you use it. And all, on the stupid part was, I was like, Ruben, can you teach me? It was a different tripod. The tripod was a fuck tripod. Yeah. Like, I looked at it and I was like, geez, I don't know. I took the camera off before, but I can't get it back on. So anyway, yeah. The point is, guys, you're probably not good at your job either, you know? And also, the people on TikTok commenting that, you probably don't even have a job, all right? Because you're 15. So how about you back off, all right? You'll realize in adult life that you can't be good at everything, including English, apparently. It's LD. I don't think I did call it LD. I probably did. I say words very lazily. I would just skip over words because by the time they've come out of my mouth, I'm two steps ahead up here. That's, I think, why I can't speak.
Yeah.
Because often on this podcast, it's a pattern. You people have probably noticed it. I'll be sometimes listening to this podcast back just looking for clips or something for the week. And I'll just start a sentence sometimes and then just move on halfway through. Like, I'll be like, anyway, so I was at the beach. Oh! And then just move on immediately without finishing the sentence or the thought train even.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's a huge problem because it is my job and I should be coherent. It actually shocks me how many people just still listen. They go like, man, I'm just going to hear an hour of half sentences and that's the show. So it's great. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for coming out to the show on Warrnambool. Oh, and also started a turf war between people from Macca's and KFC in the crowd. These people almost threw down halfway through my show because everyone was like, oh, I work at KFC and like, oh, I work at Macca's.
Yeah.
And because they both worked at the local Warrnambool and KFC and Macca's, I'm assuming there's some weird rivalry there I don't know about. And there would have been some dude from Red Rooster in the corner just going, I'm not a part of this.
And then there was confusion about how many KFCs were in the town.
Yeah, that was weird. Someone goes like, I work at the second KFC, and everyone in the audience like just turns around. Like, everyone's facing the stage. A guy at the back goes, there's two KFCs in Warrnambool. As if it mattered. Like, I'm sitting on stage going, I'm not from here. You know, you guys are all coming here to die. I don't give a fuck. And then everyone immediately just shifts around in their seat and goes, where's the second KFC, bro? I don't know where the fuck that is. And then the person in the back is like, you know, like, oh, and everyone's like, no, we don't know. We live here. This place is small as fuck. Where is it? I mean, I was there for a day. I only saw one. I reckon we saw the whole town.
Yeah.
It's like three streets, Warrnambool. It must be underground. I don't know where this second KFC is. It must be like a secret Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, they're cooking that chicken, you know, somewhere. I don't know where. It's not on the street, though. So, on the way there, I love going through regional towns. I'm so excited to be back on the road, if you can't tell. It's so good. The podcast improves as well because I finally have something to talk about because I did a thing. I left the house, got some vitamin D. It was awesome. I saw the sun. Still up there, guys. Crazy. We're going through this place called Inverley. It's like this regional town. It's got a general store, a pub. It's got a skate park, which we shredded on. Shred update coming soon. We have bought boards. And a P-stop, a post office. And that's about it.
It wasn't much.
And there was like a sign that said, welcome to Inverley. That was cute. There was a bridge.
Yeah, there was a bridge.
There was a road. And it was such a regional pub that we went into the pub. It's packed. Because we're going through all these regional towns. And damn, the ratio of pubs to other buildings in these towns is like 3 to 1. Mm. Like there'll be like 4 pubs on one street and then like 1 bakery.
Yeah.
It's like the demand for alcohol over bread is way too high. It's crazy how these places make money. I don't know how they're still alive, but good on them. But the footy club's like training outside the pub.
they were.
Like they were going in.
They're doing laps.
Sculling beers and then running out of the pub. I think they were doing some kind of fun race. It was like, I think it was one of those like things where you scull a beer and then They all put a log over their shoulder and they were working in teams and they'd run around the park, run back into the pub.
Yeah.
And then some of them got on a bike.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the weirdest triathlon. It's like the three sports of drinking, carrying logs and cycling. but it was good fun. Didn't your dad win a beer mile once or something? Win some drinking competition?
He won a stubtathlon.
What's a stubtathlon?
It was like a drinking competition where they would go to different pubs. At the pub, you'd have to drink a certain amount, then you'd go on to the next
and
pub.
And you run between them?
No, it was just like a bus. And while you're on the bus in between a pub, you would have to have a drink.
So your dad's just like a heavyweight champ of Carlton Draft.
Yeah, in 86.
What do you mean he was? Like every Friday, I'm like, well, what are you doing tonight? And you're like, I'll probably just have beers with me dad. Like, what's changed?
Yeah, true, yeah.
Your dad seems like such a fucking legend.
Mm.
Like he seems like the most Australian legend of all time. And I love that. He must be so proud that obviously he's older now, you know, he's a dad and stuff, but he has this thing that he gets to hold on to, like 1986 winner of the Stubtathlon.
Yeah, Oakley Stubtathlon.
Oakley, like a local drinking competition, is his biggest achievement. And I'm so jealous. Like no matter how far my career goes, there will always be this little hole inside of me that was never filled by winning a local drinking competition because I just can't scale, guys.
Yeah.
I'm a binge, sure. I love a drink and I love getting smashed. I actually don't really get so smashed anymore that I really haven't been hungover in ages. I kind of just drink to where I'm like, you're the same. You're just like, all right, I know my limits. I'm good. And then you just stop. And Reese doesn't change at all when he's drinking. He's just like, actually the same. I can't even think of any way you're different. You kind of smirk slightly more. like instead of like being like this, you'd be like, but that's about it.
Maybe a bit more talkative, maybe.
Yeah, in groups of scenarios, you're so quiet.
Yeah.
Because you talk on this podcast, but like on the weekend, we're all just like hanging out in the hotel room. Ruben and I are kind of working on bits and Riz is just sitting there for like an hour. It doesn't say anything.
I was like, I just had nothing to add to the conversation.
Yeah, but not many people have the self-control. Like, you know, I certainly don't. Yeah. Like, I'll be like, I have nothing to add here. I don't care.
Yeah.
And just talk and ruin the conversation. I'm the opposite. I talk too much. Yeah, that's a problem that I'm trying to work on. But it's also my job, you know. But sometimes I get sick of talking. Like after I do 6 podcasts in a week, I'm like, I'm finished. I feel like I've clocked talking for the week. I've done it. Anyway, so we're in this town of Inverleigh. God, I get distracted. And we go to this general store because we walk into the pub and we immediately decide we don't want to eat here. It's a nice pub, but they were only doing like dinner meals. We weren't that hungry. Plus we knew we were going to probably have a pub meal before the show at the Bowls Club. So we're like, let's just like have something light for lunch. So we went to the general store. And it was the most stereotypical country town thing I've ever seen. There's like 4 or 5 12-year-old boys just hanging outside this general store. Literally like it was a scene from Chris Lilley's Angry Boys, but they were like 12 years younger. Yeah. They were kind of just like, do you know like the bit on Angry Boys? I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there's a show where they're from this like shithole regional town in Australia and they just do manies.
Yeah.
And they go like, yeah, we just kind of like walk up and down the street and like check out what's going on. Because it's like, there's nothing else to do in Australian regional towns. These kids were clearly just, they were like, what do you want to do today? They were like, let's just hang outside the general store and heckle tourists as they come in. And damn, they did it. There's 2 doors of the general store, right? And one of them is closed and kind of boarded up. I didn't really look. And I walk over to the door that's closed, that's boarded up. Dude, I got fucking flamed by this 12-year-old kid. He's like, oh, the door's closed, bro. The door's closed. Yeah, and he says the most condescending shit. By the way, this kid's like the size of a fucking watermelon. Like, he's puntable. He's tiny. Like, I'm like, can 12-year-olds even get that small? He might have been 10, but he had the attitude of a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
He, like, had a fucking snapback on. I'm like, on a Razor scooter. He had, like, a backpack on that was probably stolen. And then he just says the most condescending shit to me. He goes, bro, you want to teach? That's so bad. He goes, do you want me to teach you how to open a door? And now, guys, if you don't know, I'm hilarious and also used to dealing with heckles from 12-year-olds. So I turn around and I can switch it on like that, man. I'm happy to just, you guys know me. I love ruining kids' days. You know, I have a whole bit at my show this year about it. It's great. So I turn around and I flip it on him and I realize like he's not funny enough to hold this up. Like, he doesn't know, like, that's all he has. I know he's ripped through his three things that he had planned, which was, do you want to teach you how to open a door was his best call.
Yeah.
And I go, dude, that would be actually so nice of you. Could you please? And then I fucking Elfed the kid because then I got the kid to open the door for me into the general store. And as the kid opened the door, he kind of realized like, oh, wait, I'm opening a door for this guy. Yeah. The kid at the start is thinking he's mocking me. He goes, all right, so it says pull. So here's what you want to do. You pull the door. And I was like, so don't push. And he's like, no, don't push. I was like, okay. And then Ruben is also behind me going like, hang on, can we try that again? I just don't think I've grasped it. And we're having this stupid interaction with these kids. And then it gets to the end and the kids are like, then like teach us how to open it. And by the end, we've won the kids over. You know what I mean? The kids originally mocking us. By the end, these kids are like, fuck, they've defeated us. Yeah. And we will, I guess, regroup. And then when the next old couple on their way to Warrnambool who are going to die come in, we'll heckle those
That
people.
Must be their go-to bit, the door thing.
The door thing must have been their bit because it was confusing of which door you go into. And almost when I went up and pulled the clearly locked door, they were all watching me and went, dude, it's going to pull. The closed door. And I was like, geez, not much happens here.
No.
And you know why? Because these kids are only like, they're still 3 years away from getting let into the pub, you know, when they're 15. So all the footy club guys are down fucking carrying logs and sculling beers. But these kids are just like, man, we're 3 years off that. What are we going to do in the meantime? So yeah, love going to regional towns. We got Ballarat and Shepparton this weekend. They are sold out. But yeah, if you're from those Ballarat and Shepparton, sorry we couldn't add another show there. It was kind of a little bit too late once we sold out and stuff. So I'd love it if you came to Melbourne, but otherwise hopefully I'll be back next year. All right, let's do the goddamn shred update because ladies and gentlemen, Reese and I bought skateboards. The boys are shredding. Where's the opener?
Should be in bank two.
Bank two? Oh, it's just on bank. Sorry, guys. Now. Probably the worst throw to an opener we've ever done.
You are now entering the shred zone.
Gnarly.
Kickflip.
Ramp.
Tony Hawk.
Two adults desperately trying to relive their youth.
Woo!
This is the shred zone. Zone. Cool echo. There's a cool echo. This is the Shred Zone. It's the part of the podcast where we update you on our shredding. And this week was our first week with boards. We bought them before we went on the tour. And it was pretty cool. Reese ordered the Bam Margera deck.
Yes.
Which he desperately wanted. Pink Bam Margera.
Yeah.
Paid an obscenely high price for, let's be honest, a board that probably wasn't worth that much, but he bought it from a local skate shop. Initially, I was thinking, Reese, this is a bad call.
Mm.
And then we walk into this skate shop, right? It's called Locality in Greensboro. I'm only going to give him a shout out because the guy was such a fucking legend.
Yeah.
Right? And we walk in. It's just like a cool store. Like there's all the shit I'm into is like in one store. There's like pop punk vinyls in the corner. Yeah, yeah. There's like cool like shoes that I'm into. I'm like, fuck, I'll get some new shoes, you know? And then the guy who's serving us, you know, we're kind of talking. And then I see Reese just freeze up. I kind of see Reese just start acting weird. And I'm like, why is he acting weird? And your eyes just pop. You're like, and then you're looking at me, looking at the guy, looking at me. And I'm looking at you going, why are you making this weird? Just buy the board. Like, you don't have to make this weird. And then Reese just goes, sorry. I saw, are you the guy from, are you from the band Body Jar? The guy's like, yeah, man, yeah, I play in the band Body Jar. It turns out he's the lead singer.
Yeah.
I'm at a goddamn fool of myself because I kind of know the band because I'm like a pop punk kid, but they're a little before our time. But you're more into the older stuff.
Yeah.
I'm into like the new wave Blink onwards type pop punk. But anyway, there's like big Australian pop punk band who toured with like Blink-182. I mean, Blink-182 opened for them when they first came to Australia.
Yeah.
Then they went, then once Blink got huge, Body Jar went and toured all around America with them. They're quite big. They're on the Tony Hawk soundtrack.
Yeah, Tony Hawk
3. They got that song like, "You're not the same, you've changed." It's a banger, right? It's a track. And I kind of make a dick of myself and I go, "Oh, are you in the band Body Jar thinking it's like the bassist or some shit?" I felt like a goose. And then we walk out and Reese is like, "You know, it's the lead singer." And I'm like, "Fuck." So I've just been busted for clearly not knowing the band at all. But Reese starts having a little fangirl moment.
Yeah, I was fanning out.
He's sitting there going, "Oh, I saw you guys play Unify like 4 years ago. It was so sick." And this guy's like 40, you know. He's not, he doesn't have, there's no ego in this bloke at all. He's a ripper guy. And he's like, "Yeah, man, you know, we're still trucking on, making a new album." And he's kind of making jokes about how they're old. He's like, "You know, we're still doing pretty well for guys our age, I guess. Still sticking at it. It's good fun." And this guy's living the dream. Like, he's running a local skate shop. He's playing in this band still.
Yeah.
And Reese is just so excited that afterwards we walk out and Reese goes, "Oh my God, that was so cool."
But how on brand is it for the podcast?
It was pretty random. Yeah, it was just random that like this guy from this really successful skate punk band served Reese's skateboard.
Yeah.
Who you like.
Yeah.
Definitely worth the extra cash that you paid for it. And he gave Reese a bit of a discount.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Which is cool. So, yeah. And then I went and got mine and we shredded. And I will admit, the first day of shredding, it was...
It wasn't pretty.
We're getting back into the swing of things, definitely. I'm now up to the point where I can almost run up, chuck the board down and jump on.
Mm.
It doesn't look cool yet, but I reckon I'll get there.
Yeah.
I'm getting there. And then in Inverleigh, you know, on the way back... So this was the day after we got flamed by some 12s. We thought, you know what, man, we can't go. We actually stayed so clear of the general store when we came back through Imbley on the way home because we were like, my ego will be destroyed if I get ruined by these 12-year-olds again. I can't have that happen. So we went over to the skate park and there was some, hey, little did I know that my ego was about to be destroyed a lot more because there were some 9-year-old girls shredding their hearts out. Yeah. They're going up and down the ramps. I watched this 9-year-old girl drop in on like a ramp and me, Ruben, Meg and Reese are standing there kind of going, "You do it. You drop in." Right. And then Ruben's kind of good at skateboarding. Like he's way better than Reese and I.
Yeah.
Because he's, I think he dabbled, you know, clearly in his, he says as a kid, but it seemed like he dabbled.
Yeah. I reckon it's a bit more recent.
In his teenage years. He's kind of pretty good. Plus he's shorter. So lower center of gravity.
Yeah.
That's my excuse anyway. I'm like, "Guys, I'm just too big. I'm too fucking tall and broad for this. I'm not. I'm just a bit uncoordinated." So then, dude, this dad is helping his, like, 7-year-old daughter skate. Meanwhile, the older sister's just carving around us like crazy. And we're not even at the ramp. You know, like skate parks, there's those steep ramps that you drop in on, but then there's like the run-up ramps that you can just go down to get speed so you can do a trick. We're all standing at the top of the run-up ramp, which is like not even on a 45 degree angle.
No.
And we're like, "Oh man, like, should we try and drop in on this?" And we're like going, "Oh man, I'll do it." And then Reese does it. And then like Ruben does it. So I go, "Oh fuck, I'll have to do it." So then I did it. It wasn't hard, but we all were like so scared to do it. And the dad who's helping his 7-year-old at the skate park kind of sees how our incompetence and sees the fear in our eyes standing at the top of this 1 meter tall run-up ramp. And he's like, "You boys might want to wear a helmet." I'm like, "Fuck, man. Every time we come to Inverleigh, we just get destroyed. Like, this town is just roasting everyone who comes through it. It's the place where egos and dreams go to die." Anyway, this camera kind of looks fucked. I'm going to have to fix it up. That's all right. We're using a new camera, by the way. I got a new camera, so we're kind of seeing if it's good for the podcast or not. I might have to have a fiddle with the settings if it's not perfect today, guys. But yeah, anyway, this 9-year-old girl was just putting us to shame. And then Ruben is pretty competitive.
Yeah.
He's like a dude where it's like he always kind of like the smartest guy in the room type guy. He got a nice ATAR. But even when it comes to physical things, he's not particularly sporty, but I think he knew that he was the best at skateboarding out of the three of us. Mm. Meg didn't even want a bar of it, you know. She's standing on the grass. So, by the way, if you don't know, skateboards can't move on grass. She's standing on the grass, kind of just getting a feel for the board. And then she's like, Reese, hold my arms. Like, she couldn't even stay sturdy. And she, like, goes, I'm going to try and do an ollie. And then just literally, instead of flicking the board up, she just jumps on the board. The board doesn't move at all. She's just like, did I do it? And we're like, totally, Meg, you crushed that. No one had the heart to tell her that the board didn't even raise slightly. Anyway, yeah, so then Ruben tries to start dropping in on the actual ramps, and he's standing at the top and he's doing that thing where the board's hanging over.
He
gets to the top, he's like, oh, it's a lot scarier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then he's like to the 9-year-old girl, he's like, do you have any tips? And she's like, just do it, man. Like, and then Ruben like tries to do it and then he fucks his arm.
Yeah.
And then like it's kind of embarrassing and he had a date that night as well. So he's like twisted his arm and he's an adult. He's got things to do. He probably had to rock up to his date in a sling, being like, sorry, babe, I was carving it up today in Inverleigh, getting roasted by dads for not wearing a helmet. So, yeah, that was how the shredding went. We bombed this huge hill, as you saw on my Instagram story. I reckon it was almost 15 meters of a hill.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. I would say bombing hills. It was like a car park. It was literally like a car park next to a beach. And we're like, come on, you do it. So anyway, shredding's going well. And then I shredded to and from my car at work yesterday.
Yeah.
I felt like such a hero. I was just like, had my backpack on. I was like, I'm just getting from A to B, which was the plan. And I ended up going with a normal skateboard to get good. I think I do still want a cruiser though. Just shredding to and from work on that skateboard. There's so much pushing. Like, I want to just roll, you know? Yeah. I think the end goal for me is I want to be like one of those dudes with the remote control skateboards and they just hold the little thing in their hand and they just zoom past you in the city. I just don't have the confidence yet or the ability to balance that much. You want to be confident before you chuck electric wheels on you.
Yeah, because when we went to get your board, it was quite the selection process.
Oh, yeah. It was so indecisive. Like, my mate works at Surf Dive Ski and then he's just like, I don't know, man, and I couldn't make a decision. And Reese is kind of sitting there like, oh, I got shit to do. Can we hurry up? And I was like, I don't know. And then I ended up getting the normal board. But it's fine. You know, I'm kind of glad I have the normal board because maybe one day I'll learn how to kickflip. Yeah. I doubt it. I'm really worried about shattering my ankle. So anyway, guys, that's the Shred Zone update. And also Patreon, guys. Thank you all to the people on Patreon who check out the Luke and Meg podcast.
So we had our Patreon meetup. Later on, Luca's girlfriend, Georgia, came. I don't know how we got onto the topic, but I started talking about how I've got just a fucked dog. Like, he's just, like, he's the stupidest dog. And she goes, can I one-up it? And I was like, can you? And she's like, yep, almost killed my cat. Okay, might I add, this story is only funny because the cat survived. So I need to put it out there. The cat is still alive. Anyway, she was in a rush. She's frantic. The cat threw up on her work shirt or something.
Okay.
And so she's like, I need to put it in the wash. And so she like picks up all of her washing and throws it in the washing machine, closes the door, puts it on the spin cycle and just walks away. But her mum like calls her going, do you know where the cat is? And she's like, what do you mean? And then she heard, and then her mom,
this story.
Her mom heard screaming coming from the laundry from the cat. Like, apparently this cat was fucking howling, like screaming. It was in the wash for 20 minutes and going through the full spin cycle.
We uploaded a new Luke and Meg last week. The episode is called Under My Cumbrella. So we're talking about cumbrellas. No, we found out that our eyelashes, like fake eyelashes, were originally designed by prostitutes in the 1800s because they were sick of getting cum in their eyes. That's actually the real origin story of how fake eyelashes came to be. Obviously, they're a little more stylish now, but they kind of made these little pocket things that would collect the cum from, you know, because obviously they're in there doing great work. And genius by those ladies. So I think that's what Meg told me, by the way. I have no idea how true it is. She probably saw it on TikTok, so it's almost definitely not true. but yeah, they're called cumbrellas. So we talked a lot about cumbrellas. Obviously, there were some Rihanna jokes made for sure. just because she does have a song that directly rhymes with Cumbrella. So yeah, go check that out. It's a lot of fun, and it helps support what Reese does and getting all the videos turned around and all the stuff that we do. So thank you all to the people who have signed up, and we'd love to have you on there. The Discord is a sick time. I'm in there every day chatting to people, getting ideas, and, you know, just talking shit pretty much. A lot of roasting happens, but all in good jest. It won't be directed at you. Don't worry. If you join, you won't be roasted. It's mainly me that gets lit up. You know, I felt like every time I go into the Discord, I feel like I'm walking into a fucking general store in Inverleigh. I'm just like, I'm about to get lit up. Guys, I got new glasses. Oh my God. Check this shit out. For audio listeners, business casual for sure. You know how, you know, God, it's one of those things when you get new glasses, it's like kind of when you get a haircut and no one notices. And you're like, oh, I was excited about my new haircut and no one said anything.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. I go to Reese the other week. I'm like, huh? And I'm literally pointing to them. I'm like, huh? What do you reckon? Huh? Huh? And I'm like pointing up to my face. He's like, what? And I'm like, And he goes, I didn't know that. And not even cluing in on like I'm pointing to my glasses and you're still like, I'm like, and I go, I got new glasses. And you go, really? I go, yeah, they're clear. Like I used to have like Clark Kent black ones and now I have like gray clearer ones.
Yeah.
And you don't.
I didn't notice, no.
Did you notice now that they're different?
I do notice now, yeah.
Yeah, do you reckon they're good?
Yeah.
I pay him to say that. I was like, we worded him up for the show. I was like, don't trash him on the show. And then like Meg comes out. Meg also got new glasses. And she's like, what do you think of mine? What do you think of mine? And Reese is just sitting there going, this is weird. Is this a cult? Why do you guys want compliments so much? But yeah, guys, I got new glasses and no one noticed yesterday at work at Luke and Lewis. I like walk up to Kill and I go, what do you reckon? He's like, of what? And the same thing happened. I go, new glasses. And then, you know, the only person, Lewis goes, oh, they look better than the old ones. And I go, well, that's not really that nice. It's not even saying they look good. It's like, it's more just saying, well, your old ones look shit. So I guess it's an improvement. So anyway, guys, I got new glasses. I'm stoked about it, but no one else is. Nothing keeps your ego in check more than being excited about a new thing. And everyone goes, oh, I didn't notice. Cool, man. So anyway, guys, I got new glasses. Compliment me below. I'm fishing for compliments. Sorry, guys. For audio listeners, I'm just smiling and posing with my glasses on. Just give me a second. Great. Now I have four new options if I ever make a LinkedIn account. I'm going to get networked. Guys, before we wrap up this episode, we're nearing to the end of the hour, unfortunately. Oh, shit, really? Oh, guys, we're only 3/4 of the way through. I forgot. I looked at the timestamp. I was like, oh, 47 minutes. I was like, that's long enough for a podcast. And then I forgot. I always forget that this show is called the Luke Kidgel Hour.
Yeah.
It's a good title, though. You know, it's a lot of talking. No, I do have other stuff to talk about. I'm also looking at my hourglass here. It's not even nearly done, guys. We've still got ages to go. We need to talk about Jacob Bad Boy, the 12-year-old. Probably was out there outside the general store during the week. Similar energy. But so if you don't know, if you haven't been following this saga, we'll do a quick recap. I got a message on Instagram from Jacob Bad Boy. So he's clearly a ruthless man. And I always try and respond to people's messages because I love people that listen to the pod. You guys are too kind. So he goes, hey, full stop. Ooh, already strong start. Man, can I be in the pod? It would be my full stop. Whoa. He's left us hanging. Yeah. At this point, I just don't think this guy knows what a full stop is or how it's supposed to be used. But either way, I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm listening to this going, what the fuck? He goes, it would be my... So I stop to take a breath because that's what you're supposed to do on this full stop. So I go, hey. man, can I be in the pod? It would be my... And then he goes, 12-year-old dream. Hope you... see... this Jacob. So I'm taking so many breaths because he's clearly wanted me to. Because
yeah.
He's put a lot of full stops in. It would be my 12-year-old dream. Hope you see this. Crazy. So then we discussed last week and we put it to a vote on the story, right?
Yeah.
We put it to a vote. I said, guys, it's not up to me. This podcast is a community and I can't make all the decisions around here. Mainly because I don't like making big calls.
Yeah.
I usually like, you know, I love democracy. So I thought, let's put it to a vote. You know, I didn't hold a sausage sizzle. Maybe that's why not too many people voted. No, actually, a lot of people voted. I think over about 1,500 votes were cast. I honestly forgot. I completely forget what the poll was in the end. But, I could go check. The reason why we don't need, you're probably thinking, Luke, don't you need the results of the poll? Well, something's come up, right? So we got another reply from Jacob. Bad boy, by the way. He's clearly bad. I'm just going to get the poll up now.
But when you were making the poll, you were sort of leading for people to vote no.
Sure, but I was also, I was mainly pointing, I was trying to realize to people, I'm like, this person doesn't have a fully developed brain yet. Now, that's not a dig at Jacob.
Yeah.
It's a fact about human development.
Yeah.
You know, he's 12 years old and that he's in primary school or maybe year 7, depending on which end of the 12 years.
Mm.
But, you know, there's still a lot of growing to do as a human being.
Yeah.
You know, even I feel like I'm still growing, guys, and I'm 24. I'm not. I think I'm devolving, but I'm trying to grow. And, all I did was point out the fact that firstly, as you guys already know by now, I'm happy to crush a 12-year-old's dreams. You know, he said it would be my 12-year-old dream. I'm more than happy to come out on this show and go, nah, fuck him.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I don't really have a soul. You know, I watch Pixar movies and go, that didn't affect me at all, which is cold. You know, I watched the movie literally called Soul. Meg was like almost bawling and I was like, it was cool. It was pretty funny at times. It was a good one. I don't think the takeaway from that was a lot deeper. But I'm a stone cold dude, man. So I go, look, guys, I'm really happy to crush this kid's dreams. Let me know what you think. I go, do we let Jacob bad boy in the pod? 58% people voted yes, it's his dream. 42% voted no, that will suck. Jacob. That's fine, mate. You know what I mean? You can't please everyone. Plus, I did kind of lead people in that way. And that's fair enough. It's the Luke Kidgel hour. It's not the Jacob Bad Boy hour.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't expect everyone to want Jacob Bad Boy content. But we got a message from Jacob, who, by the way, seems like an absolute bloody legend. He messages me during the week. I go, hey, mate, did you hear last week's episode? Because he was disgusted. Because he hadn't got back to me.
Yeah.
And then he goes, yeah. And Reese. This will shock you. Yes. Nah, can't. Have school. Don't worry. And full stop. So, nah, can't. Have school. Don't worry.
That comes to no surprise.
Oh, what an end to the saga. God, those ups and downs. It was a bloody roller coaster journey. Will Jacob Bad Boy be on the pod? Sorry, guys. Algebra is not going to learn itself. All right. He's got shit to do. You know, he's got media. Why is that flashing? Just turn it off. Oh my God. My speaker's like low on battery, but it's literally plugged in. God damn it. Anyway, guys, that's it. That is the end of the Jacob Bad Boy saga. It ended almost as quickly as it started. Jacob Bad Boy will not be coming on the pod. He has school. Oh. He can't. Don't worry about it.
But I remember when we were like, before we did the pod, we were like, that's what we're like, won't he have school?
Yeah, me and Reese were discussing that. I was like, I mean, look, just judging from the punctuation in the first one, I don't think that a lot of thought went into the original can I be on the pod message. I honestly don't think he was thinking we'd talk about it on the podcast, but, you know, this show goes for an hour and we're always happy for listener input. That's the thing. I think sometimes people like, it's so weird. Sometimes people like don't think I'm a celebrity at all. Exhibit A guy walking into the backstage and going, where's the toilet? And then sometimes like some people go like, oh, he won't even see this. So I'll just shoot for the stars and ask him to be on the podcast. But it's like, no, mate, you can pretty much just walk backstage. I'll be like, what up? And also, please don't, by the way, that's fucking annoying. But also, yeah, you could pretty much just ask to be on the podcast. And if I think it'd be worth it,
yeah,
then sure. I mean, it has to be good.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought it would be good because I'd be making his dreams come true.
Yeah, but then there's also, what do we talk about?
I don't even know what I would have talked about with him. What a 12-year-old's like.
Yeah.
Tarzos? That's what we liked when we were 12.
Might like skateboarding.
Yeah, skateboarding, true. We pretty much have all the similar interests to probably Jacob Bad Boy. Yeah, what a 12-year-old's into these days? I mean, Tarzos, if you don't know, that were like little things that came in chip packets when we were kids.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of like a Happy Meal, but with Smith's chips. Yeah. But they don't really do that shit anymore. Nah. Man, it's so fucked up. You know what, guys? I'm sorry to trash a big. I mean, I'm not sorry, really, guys. I don't like Maccas. I've realized.
Yeah.
I actively avoided having Maccas 3 times in the last week. It was suggested to me, and every single time I went out of my way to avoid it. Do you like it?
Only if I've been on the beers.
Yeah, same. Yeah, yeah. Or but there still has to be nothing else open. I will still prefer a dirty kebab over Maccas at the end of the night any day. Like I'll get like a, you know, a Fitzroy or some kind of grease covered lamb, you know, then because that's probably still better for you than a Big Mac.
Yeah.
Because at least there's fucking real lettuce and tomato in there. Mm. But I only bring this up because I was like to Meg, I was like, man, what is the appeal of Maccas? I don't understand. Like it's with kids. Kids always go, Mom, Dad, I want to go to Maccas. Like no kids ever go, Mom, Dad, let's cop some Dirty Bird on the way home. Let's fucking get some KFC. No one ever does that. You know, and they're like, I'm hungry for a bit of Jack's. You know, let's get our Red Rooster on. Every single kid under 10 is like, I want Maccas. And I want to know, because it's because they don't know life yet. And that's what they know. They go like, I know the Big M and I know I like it. And then I was like to Meg, I was like, why do they like it so much? And she's like, because Happy Meals.
Yeah, I was going to say Happy Meals.
I was like, what do you mean though? I'm like, they're shit. And she goes, yeah, but like, they have a toy. And I was like, is that it? Is that the whole sell? It's like they get a plastic 2-cent toy that they play with for 3 seconds.
Mm.
And that's how Maccas has just like got a monopoly on every single human being under 10, you know, and mummy and daddy's credit card. Why don't KFC do little mini kernels, you know, in it, you know, like what would be called a Happy Meal? It'd be called like a, you know, this will make you happy. And then in 20 minutes, you'll feel like shit meal. That'd be great. I don't know why they don't do their version of... It does seem strange. I think Hungry Jack's dabble with toys.
Yeah, I used to work at Hungry Jack's and they used to have
toys. They do toys?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck. Really worked at Hungry Jack's?
Yeah.
What, is that the only job you ever had as a teenager?
I did like trade.
You did a trade?
Yeah.
What trade did you do?
I was a handyman for a bit. I helped with like working with a handyman, but I was really shit.
Well, okay, this is good. Why? What part about being shit? You weren't very handy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You also were a robot. You weren't a man. So.
I just wasn't good at working with tools and stuff like that.
Yeah, like you were the guy going to Bunnings looking for a left-handed screwdriver, a bit of that. Yeah.
Like, and when I was on building sites, I was just the guy to go get, they would just make me like the tool lucky, so I would just go get tools.
By the way, guys, how many minutes to go? Is it worth, the camera's just died.
Half.
We just do we'll put the camera back on. We'll pause. Oh, the camera battery died. Sorry, the camera battery died there. So you were saying you were bad at your job?
I was when I was a handyman.
Yeah, right now though. Now you excel. Yeah. You learn how a tripod works on the weekend. So it's all up from here.
Unlike the job sites, they would make me the guy just to go get the tools because I was never good with the tools.
Yeah, right. You were like the go for a servo run type
guy. Yeah.
Man, I can't imagine you being on a work site.
Yeah, else.
At all. I did a bit of, I always say the only job I ever had was the golf club, but I think I may have talked about this. I did a bit of furniture removal, like with a guy from the Arts Club and, 15 bucks an hour, cash in hand. oh my God, like lifting pianos up staircases.
Yeah.
I'm like 15 years old, like, you on the other end, Luke? And I'm like, oh yeah. And I'm like, you know, about to, my body is weak. You know what I mean? Like I was a runner. I was like an athlete, but I wasn't a strong athlete. I wasn't even like, this was like almost after I'd quit footy as well. So I was like lifting these huge boxes all day for $15 an hour. What the fuck? Is that good? I mean, that's not, is that good pay? I don't know. Seems like shit pay now as an adult. But yeah. I guess when you're like 15, that's like what it is.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I don't know. That's just so weird though. Like, it's especially for like labor. It's like, I guess it's unskilled labor, but for like, it was really hard work. I used to come home so fucking sore. Yeah. I reckon I fucked my back permanently from doing like a whole summer of furniture removal. It was definitely cooked. What other jobs? Oh, yeah, I used to do a bit of like, yeah, that's it. Furniture removal and then like, yeah, I pretty much have no life experience whatsoever is my point. I've only ever worked at a golf club and then been like, I'm funny for a job, which is such a sheltered lifestyle. Most people have worked like 10 jobs. I've been like, oh yeah, I've worked hospitality. Yeah. I've worked like, you know, I guess I did work hospitality, but at a golf club, you know, it's like functions at a golf club are very civilized. You know, you got more likely of someone having a heart attack than like drinking too much and munting out the side. You know, all you gotta do is call an ambulance. It's not the hardest thing in the world. So yeah, guys, that's the, what is that, the end?
We have got 3 minutes.
Guys, come see the show. It's gonna do a 3 minute tour plug to round us out. No, seriously, I just, you know, I got 3 minutes to thank everyone. This year is the fucking year. I'm telling you, it's huge. I'm taking huge risks. We're doing, New South Wales is going to be announced soon. I keep saying next week, but we're still waiting on goddamn Canberra to confirm. Don't worry, you're not going to miss out. People keep going, where's the tickets? I'm like, the shows are booked in. It's not going to change when or not you see me. And then we'll book in Queensland, Perth and everywhere else after that. So just be patient. We're just booking in, you know, six shows at a time in case they'll get canceled and stuff. We're playing a little safer, but Sydney is going to be huge. We're doing 2 shows in one night in the biggest venue I've ever done in Sydney, and then we're doing 2 shows of it. So you're all bringing your friends. You're coming out. These are going to be the biggest shows I've ever done. I haven't done a tour in 2 years. I'm selling like fucking crazy. We're going to add a 3rd show in Adelaide. I've never done 3 shows in a night before. We're doing a 5 p.m. show. Yeah. The tickets are going to be on sale for that very soon. If you missed out in Adelaide, keep an eye out. We're going to be adding a Geelong show as well, which is crazy, adding shows in regional towns. And then, yeah, we're doing 20 shows in Melbourne. And like 2 of them are already sold out. And there's about 4 or 5 more that have less than 10 tickets left. So these shows are selling out. It's crazy. I don't really know where all these people are coming from. It must be TikTok.
Yeah.
Because certainly not YouTube. You know, like this podcast and my channel does not get the views it used to. But it clearly shows that views and shit don't matter. People just must tell their friends and go, you got to come see this guy. He's fucking good. So that's even cooler. So thank you very much for bringing your friends out to the show. People bring their families. People bring their work friends. Like, you know, like there's whole groups of like, you know, half of the staff from KFC Warrnambool were at my show on the weekend. It was very cool. So thank you all very much for coming out. You're making a little boy's dreams come true. I feel like Jacob Bad Boy right now if I was on the pod. So yeah, thank you. I just want to say thank you. If these shows go ahead, which I think they will, is going to be the best shows I've ever done. I'm touring the best show I've ever done. I'm not just saying this. I'm in the best form I ever have been. I'm just like feeling real good about it. And Reese and I are working so hard behind the scenes because it's kind of one of those like, you know, you hit those points in your career where you're like, oh shit, this is the time. Like if we don't go hard now, we're going to miss a huge opportunity here. Like I happen to be selling well at the start, which is great. And now we're going to try and do like, you know, 2 shows of 400 in Brisbane and shit like that, which is like, you know, the last tour I did 1 show of 400. We're trying to like really step it up. And, but yeah, it would be mad if you all invited your friends. Is that it? We're done. Guys, I got to cut off my little soy boy rant there at the end. But I just want to say thank you. I'm very grateful to everyone who's bought tickets and, let's sell out some shows this year. It's going to be awesome. Where's the guy's buzzer? Huh?
The Luke Jalawa begins now.
I have no idea if that's still playing. Sorry, guys, the speaker died, but I hope I timed that right.
Yeah.
You guys heard it. We were like, is that playing? I don't know. All right, see you later. That was the end of the Luke Kidgel Hour. Join on Patreon. And yeah, hopefully I'll see you at a show at lukekidgel.com. Bye. Somewhere.